There's an array of guests and a wide variety, a very astute, very competent guest that we could have on to talk about minutia events and to analyze them and even overanalyze them and dissect their importance or non-importance in our lives. And we do that sometimes, and that's important. There are very few guests we can come on who have a conceptual understanding of the whole. And our next is a master, literally, has a master's degree in this discipline and looking at the world through a much broader lens. He's the author of In the Shadows of Presidency, all about what's going on in the Trump administration right now, the behind the scenes, the, you know, cats and dogs to death fight that's going on. He is the, of course, one of the foremost people who's introduced the Bilderberg to the world, and he's our friend here at the Power Hour, and my friend, love Daniel Estulin. He's my wife's favorite guest. Don't tell Daniel that, but he is. Daniel Estulin, welcome to the Power Hour.
Well, thank you so much. I was hoping I'd be your favorite guest, too, because you just downgraded me. I don't have a master's degree. I have a doctorate degree in conceptual intelligence. So thanks for nothing.
Well, I'm sorry. I'm going by memory. I don't have your bio right in front of me. I try to make it a little fun. I've always said James McCanny and you are my favorite guests. You two are my absolute favorites, and as we can see why. But anyway, whatever. It's great to have you on. I want to start with a story that's just breaking while the show started. Roger Stone, of course, was on trial for basically lying to Congress, and I've said this over and over. You know, in America, you don't have to talk to police. You don't have to talk to law enforcement. And if you do, they will say, you said on December 1st that you had Pizza Hut pizza with your family. Well, now you're telling us, no, it wasn't pizza, it was Domino's. You lied. You're going to trial. We're going to put you in jail. So that's basically that. Roger Stone has been convicted. This is ridiculous on all seven counts. And Trump, who said he was going to drain the swamp, the only people I see being arrested and harassed by this justice system, quote unquote, alleged justice system, are people associated with Donald Trump. I do not see the swamp being drained at all. Roger Stone, right in the crosshairs right now, your analysis of this.
Well, yeah, I'm looking at the Trump's Twitter feed right now. He's saying, so now they convict Roger Stone of lying and want to jail him for many years to come. What about crooked Hillary, Comey, Strauss, Page, McCabe, Brennan, Clapper, Shifty Schiff, Orr, and Nelly, Steele, and all the other, including Mueller himself? Didn't they lie? Well, of course they did. But again, what we talked about briefly just before the show, Roger Stone, Trump's impeachment, Evo Morales' ousting in Bolivia, the coup d'etat, it's the same game by the same people. Now, if you're looking at it from the point of view of geopolitics, meaning two of blacks and black and whites, then you're looking at three different scenarios. You have the CIA, maybe people are going to say in Bolivia, it's about the drug trade, or, you know, the president was crooked and is a dictator. Trump is, you know, is a right wing, a bigot, and Roger Stone is a liar. But if you look at it conceptually, meaning like way, way up high up there in the universe, and you take what's happening on the planet Earth in at the same time, then the Evo Morales and Bolivia coup d'etat, the impeachment, which has been going on for, you know, pretty much since Trump took over the White House in January 2017. I mean, I can't remember the first time they started talking about impeachment. I think it was like a couple of months after he became president, and the stuff with Roger Stone. So let me explain conceptually what this whole thing works down to or breaks down to, because people need to understand that this is not the end. The final objective of the liberal banking financier elite is get rid of Donald Trump and put somebody one of their own in. Be it Hillary, or doesn't matter, it could be even a Republican, because they're all part of the same global economic model, which is Bretton Woods economic model. Again, the Bushes voted for Clinton. You have what's the dead senator from Arkansas? McCain. He voted, I mean, he's anti-Trump, and people think, well, how could that be? I mean, they're Republicans. There's no such thing as a Republican and a Democrat. They're all part of the same global economic model. The same thing as you have one sky over the entire world. It's the entire world today is part of the same model, which is on its deathbed. So let me remind the audience that the essence of the Bretton Woods Conference was not simply to ensure the expansion of the sphere fear of control of the U.S. dollar over half the world, and in 1991 with the collapse of the Soviet Union to the whole world, but also to confirm that the right to legalize dollar emission and accordingly earnings premiums are precisely private entities, specifically transnational banks and affiliates. Now, until 1944, such structures simply could not exist because the dollar was the national currency of the United States, and the American law forbade banks to create branches. Certainly, transnational banks existed in the world, but they did not work with dollars on their own. After 1944, such structures appeared, and their activities were actively supported by the Bretton Woods institutions, such as the International Monetary Fund, World Bank, World Trade Organization. Until 1991, it was called GATT, General Agreement on Tariffs and Trades. But the money printing itself, Daniel, although carried out in favor of private institutions, was under the jurisdiction of the Federal Reserve of the United States and acted under the American law. Before the Bretton Woods Conference, when the scope of the dollar turnover was limited, it expanded, yes, but very slowly, and the dollar itself was tied to gold, emission mechanisms were used more to redistribute property. But after 44, when a lot of dollars were needed, and especially after August 15th, 1971, when as a result of another default, the dollar was untied from gold, the share premium of the financial sector rose sharply. Now, this is very important to understand why they're going after Trump. Numerically, this can be demonstrated by the share of profit that the financial sector in the United States redistributed in its favor. If before World War II, it didn't exceed 5%, then a few years after Bretton Woods Conference, it grew 10%, and at the beginning of the crisis in the 1970s, it reached 25%, and at the beginning of the crisis of 2008, meaning the Lehman Brothers collapse, the share of the financial sector was 70% in the entire world. It then fell 40% after the collapse in 2008, but then began to grow slowly. That is, for a long time, the global economy sat on the remaining 30%. In other words, 70% of the global markets were financial speculators, the same people that today are trying to get rid of Donald Trump. It is this effect that you can call Bretton Woods tax. And as can be seen from the figures of official statistics, it far exceeded the tenth, or what they called in the Middle Ages. Question. So why did the governments globally participate? And how is it that, you know, Western Europe, Japan, China were convinced to become part of the system? It was very, very easy. The American government said to all these countries, look, we guarantee you 4, 5, 6% annual growth if you join the system, okay? And so there was a no-brainer. So the result is the United States, whose share in the world economy in 1945 exceeded 50%, both in consumption and in production, opened its markets for these countries. And as a result, today, the U.S. share in the global economy in consumption is significantly higher than in production, which is what Trump is very unhappy with, by the way, and trying to revert it, which is one of the key reasons why the liberal banking financiers, global speculators based on Wall Street, want him out, because global economy based on the financial speculation. So, but the dollar demand is the basis for the existence of all world currency. It is because of this that this world economy survived the 1971 U.S. default rather painlessly. But today, world capital is not reproducing since rates have dropped too much. And this was inevitable. The decrease in the cost of credit was used to refinance the growing debt. And today, the world economy is facing a very serious problem. It is no longer possible to issue U.S. dollars because it will result in inflation. And in fact, I remind you that Barack Obama stopped the corresponding program back in 2014. So it is necessary to raise the rate in order to increase capital efficiency, but then it will be impossible to service the existing amount of debt because we're looking globally at $4 quadrillion debt. That's 4 and 15 zeros. So if you raise rates, you collapse the global economy. That's Trump's problem. That's the financier's problem because they don't care about collapsing the world economy because one of the ways out of this crisis is global thermonuclear war, which will kill 4, 5, 6 billion people. But what do they care? By killing all these people, you can, you know, get rid of debts and responsibilities. So, in other words, The real sector, the financial sectors have problems. Real sector needs money and no one gives it because it's totally unprofitable. And the financial sector needs equity money. There is a liquidity crisis and the Fed no longer gives it either. Yes, the European Central Bank and the Bank of Japan are still printing money, but even then it is clear, the writing is on the wall, that very, 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 very soon it's a matter of time before they stop printing more money because the entire system will collapse. So accordingly, you need to either resume printing money for banks, which is Clinton program in the United States, destroying the real sector with high inflation, which is what Trump is not willing to do, or save the real sector, the productive sector, the things you can touch, in other words, by raising rates and stimulating demand through the budget, that is, issuing money which will never be repaid by destroying banks who are the holders of debt. And that's another reason why the liberal banking financiers are doing everything in their power to get rid of Trump, because Trump is waging war against the Bretton Woods economic model and against the system itself and the financial institutions, which are basically the cause of everything we're seeing around us. So, in fact, in its purest form, none of these programs are being implemented. There's a complex mixture of them. But in general, Trump is pushing his objectives forward. And precisely for this reason, the financiers have serious problems, including in the European Union. And the fact is that the financiers raised two generations of European politicians who do not recognize the Trump scenario because, again, the entire global order since the collapse of the Soviet Union in 1991 is liberal banking financier, limitless expansion. Okay, but you can't limitlessly expand when the world is a finite place. So what you have this right now is a problem, but it's clear, okay, absolutely clear. It's impossible to avoid, you know, the collapse scenario. The trouble is that what will happen in Europe is it will require the European Union in general and the global system in particular to develop new economic mechanisms alternative to these that have operated for 70 years since 1944. In other words, an alternative model which is not based on Bretton Woods. But the current European elites are not ready for this, amongst many other things, because one part of being a liberal is not take responsibility for anything at all. And the problem is the financiers don't know any other system which is not based on infinite expansion. And there is no way out because an alternative economic model is not even visible on the horizon, because to create an alternative model, you need to have a language, not English, Spanish, German, or Chinese, but the language of economy to explain what this alternative model is. And because the Western system is based not on political economy as it was based in the Soviet Union, because our teachings or our model comes from Adam Smith and Karl Marx, but it came in the West. You can't accept limited growth because capitalism needs to expand perpetually. And so they eliminated the political aspect of it and they created a new science called economics, which is why whether it's London School of Economics, Wharton School of Business, the financial institutions, the banks, the think tanks, the foundations, the Bilderbergers, the Davos Forum, G7, I don't care what institutions are, the entire edifice of bureaucracy, they can't think of an alternative system because they don't have the language to explain what needs to be done. And if you look at the last 11 Nobel economics winners for the last 11 years, none of them can explain the theory of crisis. And so the problem today is the global financial elite, they must get rid of Donald Trump. And they must take over territories because that's the only source of expansion. They get rid of Trump, they put one of theirs in his place. Nothing's going to change anything because it won't. But what they're going to do is they're going to try to hope to survive like a junkie for another few months. And in Bolivia, the same thing. They got rid of Morales and they put one of their own in there. But I don't care if it's a CIA coup or NSA or an FBI. It doesn't matter. The point is, Bolivia has a wealth of natural resources, but it's not going to change global economic model. They're trying to survive by robbing someone else a little bit longer. But again, Roger Stone, Donald Trump, Evo Morales, what you're seeing in Hong Kong, what you're seeing in Venezuela, and what you're seeing in the United States, within the United States itself, is all part of the same global war for survival between two very different models which simply cannot exist or coexist any longer.
I'm going to summarize here, and at the end of it, you kind of correct me for our audience. I mean, sometimes it's very not difficult to understand, but you're so forward thinking, and I hope the audience also sees that what you're presenting, the view of this, the overarching understanding of this. I mean, people who listen to this kind of radio shows, and there's a lot of radio shows out here that do what we do or similar, not quite what we do. I doubt 1 in 1,000 people, even those people, understand what Daniel just explained. So let me try to summarize simply, and so people, and then let's go forward to this. After World War II, America dominated, was in a position of dominance economically. We were, you know, 50% probably of economy, of manufacturing, maybe even more. We were the dominant manufacturer, America was, in the world. From that point, we wanted some global, or the world wanted some global overarching money monetary system. Bretton Woods was initiated. The dollar was going to be that instrument. Okay, if America was going to stay the way it was, where we were in that dominant position, then we couldn't be the universal money system. So something had to give. So what gave? The dollars went out. And then 71, they really went out, not backed by gold, but still the petro became the petrodollar, where we flooded the world with these dollars and with money to do, whether it was even going to China, where we built their manufacturing, and then they sold those goods back to us at cheap, and so pulled more dollars out, kept pulling more dollars out of the United States. So the manufacturing, the engine, basically this global liberal financing system, at the means of trading, they sacrificed America's economic dominance for world growth, world economic growth and control at the center of the printing machine. That's basically what happened. And this was spread all over the world. The control and influence was bought by these liberal banking, these central bankers all over the world, out on the backs, at the behest of basically the individual American that's working. And now you've seen the result. From there, now we're to the point where that system only works. It's like a snake eating its tail. It can only work by robbing, by stealing, by taking advantage. And so then the back end of it is the debt that just continually grows. You've seen that in America. You've seen that in other countries. And so it's always looking for new markets, vis-a-vis Bolivia. Now there's a lot of natural resources, lithium. So they just want to go in and now take this over, because this is something they can steal, something they can hoard like a snake. It's like something we can grab so we can keep this thing going, because the system is coming to an end. There's nothing more left to steal. There is no, where's the manufacturing in America? That's what Donald Trump's candidacy was about. Hey, we don't want this. We want something else. We want America first. We want America to return. Maybe regionalism, maybe whatever. China, hey, we're in a trade war. This is unfair. We need to stop this and have more balance to this, because this system is collapsing everything. Everything has been caught up in this dollar-denominated debt system, and it's everything is going to collapse with it. So you have two different dynamics. You have this basically drug-addicted banking finance system, which has to continue this way, basically thieving, robbing, printing. And then you have another counter, it's almost like counter-elite, which Trump represents, would say, no, we need to build something. We don't want to kill the goose who laid the golden egg. We certainly don't want to kill America in these markets. But now the $64,000 question, as they say, how do we go forward? There has to be some sort of new model. So the liberal banking finance system says, oh, we don't care. We'll just do a thermonuclear war. We'll just write it all off and destroy and start all over again. And other people are like, no, there has to be something else. We have to transition to something else. This is all you're seeing in all these different markets and all these like Bolivia, certainly in America, you are seeing this battle. You are seeing this war. This is the war. Daniel Estlin has just laid out to you a conceptual overview of the fantastic conflict that is going on. And now you see these little things in this minutia that don't matter on the conceptual level. What matters is, what is the future? Are we going to have a future, or is lunatics in the liberal banking financing sector going to kill 90% of us with nuclear war, disease, or whatever, because they don't know what else to do?
Well, you know, the first of all, your analysis, your explanation or translation of what I said is perfect. Alternative model, for the longest time, I'd say about 20 years, people who are not part of the liberal banking model, and again, because this, all the systems globally have been destroyed, especially in the Soviet, former Soviet sphere of influence, we had a different economic model and worked differently. We had people who understood the alternatives. All these people have been destroyed, eliminated, wiped out, they lost their jobs, et cetera, et cetera. So there are no people out there right now who can actually present a model internationally and have someone listen to you. Now it's changing, especially with, you know, with Donald Trump's presidency beginning of the year 2017. But the thing is that one of the alternatives we're looking at is regionalization of global economies. And that's what BRICS was all about initially. And that's what Brexit is about when you really understand it. It's a fight between two different models, the aristocratic elite, what you can call black international blood and soil, on the one hand, and the other, the liberal banking financiers. The regionalization of global economies, for a region to work as an economic region, you need a minimum population base of about 300 million people and up to about 500 million people. So I talk about this in my book, In the Shadows of the Presidency, about Donald Trump's ascension to the presidency of the United States. One region would be, for example, Canada, the United States, parts of Mexico, Australia, New Zealand. So that would give you, you know, the right amount of people. Another region would be the rest of Mexico and Latin America. That would be the PESO region. Then you'd have China would be a separate region because of the population base. India would be a separate region. Europe, the Paris-Berlin axis, you know, with French African colonies or former colonies as a natural resources base. And that leaves Russia, which would be divided in half by the Urals geographically. They would do it themselves because, again, being so big right now, whereas before the empires, the bigger they were, the better. Today, because of the collapse of the global economy, you can't have a country that big for very, very simple reason. There's simply not enough infrastructure to make that country work. So Russia would be divided in half by the Ural Mountains. Western Russia would join Syria, Iran, the former Soviet Turkic-speaking republics, the Balkans, and Turkey, and then the Eastern Russia, the far east, would join probably Japan, Vietnam, Philippines, et cetera, et cetera. And then that leaves London and the Arab world, and they will join together as an economic region. And one of the things about Brexit is that. I know we're going to a break.
Yeah, there's the music. This is such high level. Where else are you going to get this, ladies and gentlemen? Daniel Esselin. Stay tuned to powerhour.com. English.danielesselin.com is his website. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Jay at the Power Mall. I thought I would discuss an item that's very valuable to my personal health and well-being. That product is called Curcumin X4000. Its potent antioxidant properties have been shown to decrease swelling and allow us to enjoy our golden years. Take control over your health today, guys. Order Curcumin by calling 877-817-9829 or order at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Break the bond of Big Pharma. Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour to tell you about the powerful benefits of Strauss Heart Drops. Many people today are locked into the routine of taking multiple prescription drugs. Strauss Herb Company believes that everything the body needs is provided by nature. Strauss Heart Drops may clear congested arteries, restore damaged muscle, maintain healthy cholesterol levels and flush toxins and metals from the body. They may even be helpful in treating varicose veins. And unlike prescription drugs that are packed with chemicals, Strauss Heart Drops are 100% natural and harness the healing power of herbs like garlic, cayenne, white willow bark, and mistletoe. For the full line of Strauss products, I urge you to call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. And remember, beware of knockoffs. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
Hi, this is Catherine at the Power Hour. The Power Mall began when Joyce Riley discovered an all-natural soap that heals skin issues and can replace your bathing, laundry, and household cleaning products. That soap is Miracle 2 and is made from natural minerals and coconut extract with no added fragrances or colors and is naturally concentrated and biodegradable. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. To order, call 877-817-9829 or visit thepowermall.com today. You'll learn why so many people say, it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
With dozens of food and storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Humana Food Storage is nutritious, is GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemicals, preservatives, or soy. And Humana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. Call Jay at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or order online at thepowermall.com.
America made just for you. Food storage, I love to eat. Yum!
A lot of great specials, a lot of great holiday things that you can give as gifts, what have you, over at the Power Mall. 877-817-9829. Of course, all the great products that you've known all over the years. Many of them are on sale. Thank you so much for your support. Thank you for your purchases. Thank you for your donations. Thank you for your prayers. We appreciate it. Independent thought is becoming rarer and it's becoming more important. So as the world gets darker, control and speech is controlled more and more, then this show and you and just being who you are becomes more important. Remember, conviction is king now. It always has been, but now it's so much more. Conviction is king. And as we even though we're talking about these overarching geopolitical things, your conviction, who you are, what direction you want to go, your beliefs, your structures, your morality. Now you understand it will rule. Now you understand why situational morality being taught in these public school systems. Now that's leaked into the banking system, into the economic system, into our political system, into everything we're doing. Now we have a world of situational morality. Now we have a world with no foundation. Now we have a world. There is no future in that. And that's where we are. And we're talking to Daniel Estlin, the great author in The Shadows of a Presidency. Just what a fantastic mind of this over talking about this overarching structure and basically the decision, the crossroads, the bridge that we have come to that we have to cross right now is what model will go forward? Where will we go forward? Daniel, if interest rates are raised to kind of stabilize this and give some legitimacy to savers, well, then the whole debt load will collapse everything because he can't afford it. If
that's the problem. Yep.
If interest rates are lowered and more money is just printed, well, then inflation is going to destroy everything. We are, you know, damned if we do, damned if we don't. We
are
right in
the middle. That's one of the reasons why global thermonuclear. Well, that's why if you look at the Middle East, okay, they're pushing the, you know, global war. because you can, you know, via global, not some pity little, you know, regional conflict, but a global thermonuclear conflict will write up debts and responsibilities, force majeure. You start a nuclear war, you know, think of this. You know, the Israelis keep poking Iranians. The Iranians finally respond, be it directly from Iran or being from Lebanon. Okay, you're talking about the Hezbollah, you're talking about the militias, you're talking about, you know, pro-Iranian forces. You have the Saudis who are working with Israelis. And then somebody responds, tit for tat, you know, the Israelis shoot back and blow something up. You know, then the Iranians really get into this. And you have a shooting war between Iran and Israel, which very quickly turns into a global thermonuclear war. And so you write off 5-6 billion people, which means you kill them. Okay, you write off all the debts, force majeure, you start again. You put the $4 quadrillion debt system into receivership. And that's why, again, we've talked about this many, many times. You have the billionaires building $100 million bunkers. Okay, if you have a lot of money, why would you build a bunker where you can just buy an island? Or make an island, you know, we have so much money, like the Saudis did, you know, the sheiks in the United Arab Emirates. Just create an island and have people buy houses there. Okay, no, they're building underground bunkers. Why? Because if you have a thermonuclear war, these people are in the know because they have a lot of money. They have good connections. They contribute to presidential campaigns. They're the first to know. That comes, you know, that's part of the privileges of contributing a lot of money to Clintons and Trumps and everybody else. You know what's going to come down. And you start building underground bunkers. And what you're seeing again in the United States, the war for survival between two very different models. The liberal banking financier model, which is, you know, the Clintons, again, who is behind Clinton? And Clinton, I want people to think that Clinton is actually running the show. Okay, she's just a face, a name people would recognize. You have Hollywood, Silicon Valley, you have the bureaucracy of Washington, you have the intelligence agencies, you have the Rockefellers, you have the Soros, you have the financiers, the banks, the think tanks, the foundations, the Bilderbergers, et cetera, et cetera. You know, you have Wall Street and all the corporations there. These are the people behind the liberal model, okay? And they control 70% of today's markets because it's all financial speculation. They play with numbers on a computer. These people don't produce anything at all. They're parasites, okay? If they disappear tomorrow, the world will be a much better place. Now, the other part is what Trump represents, as I said before, 30% of global economy, which survives. They simply don't have enough oxygen. Okay, because most of the economy, 70%, is controlled by the financiers who don't produce anything at all. They just play with numbers. And all the parasites who live off of the system, okay, the dog groomers, the dog walkers, et cetera, et cetera. And you have the other side, the people behind Donald Trump. And the reason they can't kill, because people always say, why don't they just kill him the way they killed Kennedy? I explained it many times before. They can't kill Trump because Trump is not a person. I'm not saying he's an extraterrestrial being from Mars. Trump is a face of a project, an alternative global project. Trump is not even, he doesn't even represent the United States. That's another thing that people don't understand. If you have a table, a round table, as we had the Yalta Agreement back in, you know, at the end of World War II, where you had the winners, Churchill, Roosevelt, and Stalin, sat down and discussed the post-World War II world. Today, if these people are going to sit at the table, at the round table, you're going to have Putin, you're going to have Xi Jinping, the Chinese emperor, you're going to have Modi as a representative of India, that's 1.5 billion, you know, strong country, and then you're going to have a chair for the United States. But who is going to occupy that chair? Hillary Clinton, she can't because she's a member of the liberal financial order on its deathbed. Donald Trump, he can't because he doesn't control the United States. He is the president, yes. He is a de facto president, yes. Does he control the country? No, he doesn't. Because if he controlled the country, Roger Stone and everything else wouldn't happen. The country is in the hands of the liberal banking financiers. That's what people have to understand. And Donald Trump can't drain the swamp because, unfortunately, he's not a dictator. Now, we talked about this in the break. I'm not promoting dictatorship. But a country like the United States today, where the entire edifice is controlled by the liberal banking financier speculators, and they understand if one goes down, they all go down because the system is collapsing. They need to look after their own. And that means not only the Democrats, That means the entire edifice of the Republican Party who are also against Donald Trump. That's why you have the Bushes. That's why you have, what's that Mormon's name who ran for presidency way back when?
Romney. I tried
Romney,
to forget.
You have, you know, the dead senator from, you know, from Arkansas, McCain.
Arizona.
Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Well, that's what they are. I mean, we got to do a caricature of these people because that's what they are. And the problem for Trump is, had he been a dictator, okay, then he could have gotten rid of all these people. But
all right,
system itself, you know, when they talk about the checks and balances in America, the problem with checks and balances today is because the system is on its deathbed. The bureaucrats, the system, the checks and balances, the senators, the congressmen, the states, the judges on the local and regional levels, and, you know, appellate judges, they're all been there for the past 7 years, and they're all part of the liberal banking order. Trump can't go up against them. There's just too many of them.
Let me interject.
All of the branches.
All right, let me interject here and ask a question. And you talk, look, there's procedures in this country to handle this on a treason level, because that's what it is, treason. The problem is not all these. The problem in America, in my estimation, is not John McCain, is not Mitt Romney, is not even the liberal banking financiers. The problem, the people who rule in America, the ruling power in America, that is the great experiment, is we the people. The problem is we have apathetic, ignorant, lack of convicted people, full of situational morality, who have given their power away to a bunch of lunatics. That's the problem. And so the people...
Obviously, and if you're looking at the point of departure, let's talk about 9/11, okay? But the point is that the government, whether it's in the United States or the Soviet Russia under Stalin, you know, ruled in the name of we the people. And the consequences of that, they do what they want because they control the levers of power. And today, America is not a democracy. I mean, it's never been. It's a constitutional republic. But even that, your constitution doesn't exist. I mean, if you look at all the amendments of the constitution, which one of them actually still stand?
I agree. I'm with you, Daniel. That's the problem. That's the problem.
You need to dismantle the system, because by dismantling the system, you can start something new. And that's why Trump is the face of an alternative model. And that's why they're going to go after Roger Stone. That's why they're going to stonewall on Mueller and Cheney and Comey and all these other people, because they're pawns in the intent, desperate attempt to get rid of Donald Trump. Impeachment thing, it's their last chance. If they can't get rid of Donald Trump, and they won't, then what's going to happen is, and I said it before, there's a very good chance that the Democratic Party will disappear after the next election. Now, people are going to say this guy's nuts. I remind everyone that a year and a half ago, way before everybody started talking about civil war in America, I was the first one to say it on your show, and I remember your reaction. Okay, and now we're seeing it on a daily basis in all the mainstream media. Everybody's talking about the Civil War. We in the Russian intelligence have known about this going back to 2002. We had calculated it for the year 2020. If Trump wins the elections, and of course he will, okay, then you are looking at a civil war.
All right, let me. This is important. Let me get this out before you jump on me here, because I know there's a lot of facets to this. Basically, what you're saying. We have to support Trump because, I mean, Trump has, anybody who believes in goodness and family and America and whatever, the situation we're in, desperate or no, whatever, we have to support Trump because the alternative is a thermonuclear war where everything is written off and the financiers and the bankers come back and then just restart it all.
Well, that's basically one of the alternatives. We have to support Trump. We, not meaning you or the Republicans or people who are pro Trump. We, the Americans, you have to support Trump because the alternative is global thermonuclear war. Because
okay.
They have simply no way out of this. The question is, so if Trump wins, or if Trump doesn't win and somebody else wins in his place, and there's, again, everybody else is part of the same model, liberal financier, global, you know, expansion model, and there's nowhere to expand, there's simply nowhere to expand. I mean, the West, the capitalist West, lived for at the expense of the Soviet bloc between 1991 and 2008. They gobbled up the Soviet territory, and they were able to sell their trinkets and expand their area of influence until 2008.
Okay.
And then you have the financial collapse of the Lehman Brothers. And instead of fixing the world economy, because in 2008 we had the financial instruments to actually do this, they've expanded the bubble by 70%. And now we're at a point where you have no instruments left. You have nothing left. and you have no way out. The only thing you can do right now is you can actually destroy the system.
All right,
and destroy
the system,
meaning dismantle the system.
Okay,
and that's
why
the Chinese come into this. People are saying, well, the Americans and the Chinese are fighting. They're not fighting.
They're not fighting.
They're in a joint conspiracy for a very long time. But because in the West, people, when I read analysts, when I read investigative reporters, when I hear politicians talk about China, they look at China from the point of view of Western thought. China is not Western thought. It's not democracy. It's a 5,000-year-old civilization which is based on enlightened despotism, let's say. It is a very different system which has nothing to do with the West. Absolutely nothing to do with the West.
All right, let me ask you this. Before we get to China, China is very important in their involvement in this. What you're telling me, this is the way I'm reading it, that, okay, say Trump does win, no matter what, it's either the basically Americans or basically, you know, the working class American is going to have to be saved or Wall Street is going to have to be saved. So one of them is going to have to go down. In what you're saying, Wall Street is going to have to collapse for this to go forward because it has to collapse. So
it's not that it has to. We must collapse it. We, the people, with Trump as the leader of the alternative model in the United States, must do all in its power to dismantle the Wall Street system, which is, again, it's part of the global liberal system of financial houses.
Oh, my God.
What would
that look like,
et cetera, et cetera.
I mean, that would look darn near like nuclear war itself. I mean, that would be unbelievable.
You put the system, which is corrupt, into receivership, and you build a new system.
Okay, so we have, and in the middle of this, we have a possible civil war hanging over our heads. We have such a divided country. We have people. We have these lunatics coming out of school. They have no sense of anything or a sense of right or wrong, or they have no conviction. They have no, God Almighty, we're in a tight spot here, buddy.
Yes, we are.
All right, let's get to China. I mean, you say we're working with China. Kissinger just came out and said that if the conflict between America and China is not resolved, it'll be worse than world wars. I mean, Kissinger, I don't believe anything he says, but what is going on with China for real?
Okay, well, let me give you, again, a brief overview. In 1987, the Chinese put forth the concept of transferring the three-sphere strategic border of China beyond the boundaries of the national territory. In other words, on land, ocean, the polar regions, and also in space. In 1993, the Military Council of the Communist Party of China Central Committee adopted the secret doctrine, which they called Three Norths, Four Seas. And in 2013, Xi Jinping came up with this concept of New Silk Road Initiative, which by 2019 has grown into a strategy for China's victory in the Third World War of a new hybrid type by non-military means via Belt and Way. And all this is included in the Chinese globalization project with a historical name Datun, meaning Great Unity, which since 2013 has been called the Community of Unified Fate of Humanities. Now, Four Seas is a spatial coverage from the Arctic Ocean in the north to the Indian Ocean in the south, from the Pacific Ocean in the east and the Atlantic Ocean in the west. And the three norths are territories with a population subject to be overcome by non-military means. For on the cosmic grounds of what the Chinese call law of change, now in the West they call it I Ching, which has nothing to do with law of change, it's just a cover story. The center, okay, in the law of change, according to the Chinese, is occupied by the Middle Kingdom, which is the epicenter of the world, and that is China. Okay, in terms of history, is dominated by the North, because again, according to the law of change, the North defeats the South defeats the West defeats the East, East defeats the Center, and the Center defeats the North. So the first North that the Chinese want to conquer is Siberia and the Russian Far East, because that's where the natural resources are. The second North is the conquest of North Atlantic Alliance, NATO. And the third North is the victory against North American United States. it is quite obvious that the opposition of the new liberal Russia, because we are not communist, we are liberal today, okay, pro-West, pro-democratic, choice of a peaceful aggregate power of the People's Republic of China by peaceful means is almost impossible. The armed forces of the Russian Federation don't have the military power to deter China by conventional means, and the nuclear missile in opposition to China's peaceful overcoming of Russian natural resources in Siberia is absolutely useless. Now, that said, again, I want people to understand that China, okay, is a very different world from the West. The Chinese don't have letters. They write in hieroglyphs. And hieroglyphs depict a specific thought, symbolic pictures acting as a direct code of consciousness, while letters record the sounds of speech. And so this phenomenon of writing determines the specificity of the thinking of the Chinese. And one such concept is socialism with the Chinese characteristics of the new era, which is exactly what we're seeing right now, socialism with Chinese characteristics. In 2017, by the decision of the 19th All-China Congress, recorded in the charter of the ruling party of the country, according to which the nation, since 2018, adopted the order of life based on the original tradition of civilization of yellow people. For the fact that the translation is perceived as an abstract concept, socialism, which is what they call it in the West, for the educated Chinese, relying on the meanings of each hieroglyph, which has nothing to do with letters. Think of a hieroglyph as emoji. Okay, it's not a letter. Okay, the translation of what the socialism with Chinese specificity is, the union of clans around the ancestral throne and the colors inherent in those are the Middle Kingdom. And these colors are red, yellow, blue, white, and black. And so when people in the West and politicians and analysts and I don't care who talks about Chinese or China as a socialist country, they don't understand there's no such word as socialism in a Chinese hieroglyph, which were invented long before socialism came about. Again, socialism with Chinese specificity is, translated from the hieroglyphs, the union of clans around the ancestral throne and the colors inherent to those clans, which are part of the Middle Kingdom. And these colors are red, yellow, blue, white, and black.
Daniel, quick question. Is this why you see a million, maybe up to a million, the rumored a million Uyghurs in concentration camps, basically because they want to get back to that core?
It's not true. It's another snowman story. It's another thing. You know,
Hold on 1 second. We've had people claim that, and I guess that's true. That it hasn't been completely confirmed. What is confirmed is they are ripping Falun Gong off the street and ripping their organs out. Now we do know that.
It may be so to a certain extent, but I want to remind you that, way back when, Solzhenitsyn and all the Western, pro or anti-Soviet writers and demagogues were claiming that there were over 100 million people in the Russian concentration camps called the gulags. When you actually look at the actual statistics, at the height of post-World War II period, we're talking about early 1950s, there are only 2.5 million people in the gulags. That's less than today's carceral population of the United States. Out of those 2.5 million, you had over 700,000 Nazis who were captured by the Soviets. Is it true about the Falun Gong? Absolutely. To a certain point, it is. But it's a cult, and the Chinese, because they don't have a religion, there's no hieroglyph to represent God, because their concept of God is very different from how we understand in the West, how we understand the concept of what God represents. So for them,
should we trust
them?
Should we trust the Chinese? Because I don't think we should.
No, absolutely not. You cannot trust the Chinese whatsoever, because China is an infinite, uh, is a, a, an infinite way of deceit. That's what China is historically. But it doesn't mean that the United States and China are enemies. They're not. They're working together. Because since 1979, they've been in a partnership. Deng Xiaoping signed an agreement, a secret 20-year agreement with Jimmy Carter, which was extended another 20 years to February 2019 by President Clinton. And what you're seeing right now, this whole thing with Taiwan and Hong Kong, is just a negotiation for how much money China is going to pay the United States to get hold of Taiwan, because they need for this great unity called Datun, okay, one of the phases of Chinese history. They need all of the Chinese territories under motherland control, which is Macau, which is Hong Kong, which is Taiwan. And what you're seeing right now is simple negotiation. How much money are you going to give me to let go of supporting Taiwan?
So this could be an entryway into relieving our debt and maybe a new economic model.
We're looking at probably $5 trillion. Let me give you, but we have a couple of minutes, a picture of what China is. Chinese have a picture of the world, and it looks something like this. The center of the universe around which the sky revolves is the North Star. So the starry sky of violet color acts as the habitat of the heavenly emperor called Shangdi and personifies the North Pole of the universe. In the dogma of Christians, the Almighty Father is the creator of heaven and earth. But to the Chinese, the creator of the world is impersonal. It's called the Great Tao, but which nothing definitely or definitive can be said. Tao gives birth to one. One gives birth to two because one divides. And from two, Trinity is born. And a Trinity generates all things. That is the heavenly emperor, the Most High, is not the creator, but only the head of the hierarchical order. To summarize, in the sky, North Star. And under the sky, on the earth, the emperor, Huan Di, of the Middle Kingdom, on which the whole celestial world revolves. And therefore, history for the Chinese is turns of different periods with the alignment of centrifugal, in other words, chaos, equilibrium, in other words, low prosperity, and centripetal, in other words, great unity, Datun, forces that people cannot change nor control. Okay? So therefore, what you're seeing right now in the People's Republic of China, important changes are taking place in establishing documents of power from the people, writing the formula of a new era in the charter of the Chinese Communist Party, amending the constitution of the People's Republic of China under the indefinite rule of Xi Jinping, because he's not a president. He's an emperor. And his power doesn't come from people, from ballot boxes. It comes from the sky, from the heavens. And so when you understand how China works, it makes no sense to talk about democracy in China. It has never been a democracy. People who talk about democracy in China look at it from a perspective of Western democratic institutions. The power in China comes from the heavens, not from God, but from the heavens, because God as a concept doesn't exist.
Well, there's the music. Well, in America, our rights come from our Creator, come from God. That's what we believe. That's the problem. We've lost that. The greater good in America is that for everybody to reach their highest consciousness, is the pursuit of happiness, that we all work together and respect that. See, it's two different models. It's two different systems.
It's two different models. Exactly.
Two completely different. They're completely different ideals. Next Tuesday, I'm going to talk about that in depth, how important that is, and how we've lost that. And so for people, even you coming from Russia and looking at America and saying the frailties of it, that's because we've lost our inheritance. We've left our inheritance. We've left the Bill of Rights. We've left the Declaration of Independence. That's the problem. And anyway, it's a pleasure to talk to you, Daniel.
It was a great show today. Thanks so much.
Oh my gosh, it's fantastic. And The Shadows of a Presidency is your book. God bless you. God keep you. And we'll talk to you soon, my friend.
Thank you. Take care.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, the future is yours.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiatics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams Probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams Probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9800.